love espresso, drip coffee, and cold brew? With the Ninja Luxe Cafe, if you can crave it, you can brew it. Espresso? Balanced. Drip coffee? Rich. Cold brew? In a flash. With Barista Assist technology, you brew with no stress and no guesswork. And make perfect silky microfoam, hands-free, from dairy or plant-based milks. Bring the coffee house home and unlock your favorites with the Ninja Luxe Cafe.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Hello everyone and welcome back to episode 244 of your favourite Formula One show. Yes, Jamie and I return this week to preview the British Grand Prix. Although, to be completely honest, we probably won't be doing much previewing of Silverstone because suddenly, out of nowhere, there's a lot going on in the world of Formula One. First of all, though, Jamie, how are we doing, sir? How's the new whip?
Oh, it's good. It's still working, so that's a positive sign.
That's a reassuring start.
Yes, now that it's cooled down a bit, the having no air conditioning isn't a problem, so that's good. All good. Thanks to the people in the comments asking why I just buy old cars. It's because I don't have any money. So
hang on a minute, you go on holiday every other week. That's why you don't have any money.
For 20p I go on holiday.
Right, okay.
I just have friends in good places. So that's the secret.
As if you've just come on this week and immediately said to people, I'm poor, with all the stories we've had of you over the years. That is unironically hilarious.
Well, I don't have priority to buy a good car. There you go. That's the...
Fair enough.
So I spent $2.2 grand on it.
$2.2 grand? What kind of a measurement is that?
That's
just a
good measurement.
Just say 2,200 quid.
2,200 British pounds sterling. Yes.
British dollary dues.
Speaking Fantastic. Of getting a new car, there you go.
Oh,
that's
he's going to segue.
Unbelievable
that's
segue.
Beautiful.
Max Verstappen has dropped a bombshell. Well, actually, Sky Italia have dropped a bombshell about Max Verstappen. Because the conspiracy theory that Kimi Antonelli took him out in Austria to get him lowered in third in the championship has actually slightly come true. Because at, what was it, 1 a.m.? On
1 a.m. Italian time.
I 1 a.m. Italian, so midnight UK, on the 1st of July, so that's a couple of days ago now, Sky Italia tweeted that Max Verstappen has been in contract talks with Mercedes-Benz, AMG Petronas. So, yeah, it's all kicking off, basically, because we've been kind of speculating with no real meat on the bone, and then suddenly there's meat on the bone because it's hit July and Max's contract exit clauses have come active. So we're just going to talk loads about that today.
Most likely, yeah. So just for further clarity, it was actually the 2nd of July that it was confirmed, but it was at midnight. So I can only assume that obviously there was something stipulated in Max's contract, because we'd all always thought, didn't we, that it was, and obviously we still don't know with 100% certainty, but we'd always thought it was if he was lower than third in the World Championship. Apparently, it might actually have been lower than second in the World Championship, which, of course, he definitely is. So people have kind of gone, oh, it seems like a really odd time for them to start doing it. If his contract stipulates that if he's third or lower by the 1st of July, that's obviously going to be when they start talking about it. You know, this might well have been decided literally years ago. When he renewed with Red Bull. It is up there, isn't it? I mean, this is probably, I would argue, the second biggest driver move we could see, obviously behind Lewis going to Ferrari, which was just mainstream news, wasn't it? This hasn't quite reached that kind of fever pitch, but you'd argue to the general public, Hamilton is a more household name still than Max.
For sure, yeah.
Richard. Exactly. But, I mean... There's all kind of rumours, isn't there, Jamie, about what this could mean, when it could happen, what it could entail. Some people are saying it's for next year, others are saying it's for 2027. It's all a bit confusing, isn't it? We're kind of seeing a lot of information. And let's just, because we've already seen, we were talking about this pre-show, we've already seen a lot of other kind of media sources. We're certainly not a media source. we don't know what's going on. Like, all ultimately, we can do is theorize.
Yeah, the people in the paddock don't know what's going on. So no. Us two sat at home are just reading what we can see and giving our own opinion on it. So that's what we're going to do. I basically, look, it's the clever money is people to end their contracts at the end of 2026 because
have a way out.
Yes, so it's a new rule cycle. Nobody really knows what's going to happen. People are saying Mercedes got the best power unit. It's probably going to be a power unit heavy era, but that, even that, is speculation. None of the engines have gone up against each other. All you've got to base it off is what the teams, what noises the teams are making internally. So Mercedes could be the fastest, but then Ferrari could be the fastest. Audi, if all my hopes and dreams come true, could be the fastest. We just don't know. But the Red Bull powertrain journey that Red Bull are on, I don't think Max is bothered. I don't think he wants it. The problem is for Max is, you know, jumping for 2026 is just a massive risk because you don't know who's going to be fastest. He could very well leave Red Bull, go to Mercedes, and then Red Bull are first and Mercedes are fourth. Like, it's unlikely, but that could happen. So, yeah, I feel like all of this is probably for 27, which is why I don't remember where I saw it, but Mercedes offered Russell a 1+1 deal for 26 and 27, and he turned it down. That would make sense because I still think Russell and Verstappen will be driving for the teams they're currently driving for in 2026.
Okay, interesting. I mean, yeah, it's a big one, isn't it? Because I think for George, of course, you know, he's been very open, hasn't he? We're kind of going, you know, he can understand why Mercedes are talking to Max, but he's on a, you know, this is a very fine line of a tightrope that he's got to walk now, isn't it? Like you said, obviously denying that 1-1 deal. You know, there's been this one theory on one side of things of going, is this Toto's play to try and make George sign a lesser contract? You know, if he wants a 2-year deal, he might have to take a couple million quid pay cut. It is a real kind of who blinks first game of chicken, if that's the case. The other really, really interesting bit that I read, Jamie, was that apparently it was Verstappen's team that approached Mercedes, not vice versa.
Yeah, because Toto Wolff all but put it to bed, didn't he? In Miami, I want to say, or back in April.
Yes, yeah.
When he basically said, we've stopped flirting with Verstappen now. And that was like, well, okay, they're going to go with Russell then. And then it was Verstappen's team that approached Wolff or whoever at Mercedes to reopen negotiations. And yeah, the thing is, it could all just be contract power moves because, yeah, I mean, Red Bull are already going to give Verstappen exactly what he wants, but this is just another way of being like, look, if I leave you, you are literally going to finish last in the constructors. If they didn't have Verstappen, they would be ahead of Alpine and that'd be it. No, not even
they
that.
They're not even ahead of Alpine, no. They are dead last without Verstappen there. If Max Verstappen didn't exist.
Liam
and in fact,
Lawson,
I'm pretty certain the gap would be bigger to Alpine because obviously everyone would move up one position.
Yeah. Obviously, it depends who Verstappen's replacement is and how well they drove. But say it was Lawson and Tsunoda, for instance, it would not have gone very well. Liam Lawson scored more points in the Austrian Grand Prix for VCarb than either Red Bull driver in the second seat has done all season. So,
or more points than Red Bull scored in Austria.
Well, yeah, way more than Red Bull scored. yeah, did you know that since the USA Grand Prix of last season, that Nico Hülkenberg has scored as much as the Red Bull second seat in a Sauber and Haas?
Wild. I mean, it is, as we said on Monday, you know, we could genuinely, as we said, be watching the catastrophic downfall of Red Bull right now. Like, this could be something that we talk about in three, like, the race, or do a video in 3 years from now going, the 10 things that led to Red Bull's departure from Formula One or something. I don't think they'll leave Formula One anytime soon. But
if they lost Verstappen, he is their best asset by a mile at the moment.
Oh, absolutely.
So, yeah. The one thing I quite like to think about in terms of, I don't see many other people talking about this could be a good thing to talk about. If Verstappen does go to Mercedes for 26, which, as we said, I think is unlikely, but it might happen. Do you think Russell would go for a straight swap, or do you think he'd try and find somewhere else to drive?
This is exactly what I was going to talk about, because I've thought about this as well. What could, and of course a lot of things would have to fall into place here, but what could end up happening, Verstappen goes to Mercedes, Russell's, obviously, Russell apparently has already spoke to Horner and kind of gone, obviously, if Max goes the other way, there's an option for him to go there.
Mm-hmm.
But what about, for a second, Lando Norris? Does if Oscar wins this world championship, he doesn't want to be a number two. Could you then see George go to McLaren if Lando went to Red Bull? And then we get a kind of a big three-way swap at some of the
that
are currently the top teams. Because I've always said that Lando is someone that Red Bull should have been trying to poach anyway.
Years ago, back in 21, 22, we were like, Lando's a second, the perfect second seat driver for Red Bull, because he's got a very similar driving style to Verstappen. Yeah, that would be incredible. I personally don't see it, because
I can't see him wanting to go in next to Max, but I can see him, if Oscar beats him this year, wanting to go somewhere else to be the number one.
I feel like, unless we see a collapse from Lando at McLaren, I think this championship's going to wire. So
I can see Oscar wrapping it up with like two races to spare. Like gets into Qatar with like a 56-point lead and then wraps it up in the sprint or something.
I think Norris, firstly, I see it going to the last race, because I think they're going to be so close throughout the season that if it was won at the last race by Piastri, Norris would want to get him back the year after, and it wouldn't a one-year thing. I think...
No.
Yeah. If Mercedes do have the best power unit and you're going to 26 and you've got a McLaren or a Red Bull, I think you'd rather stay where you are, even if you're not the number one driver. But they wouldn't make Oscar number one for 26. They would still be equal. He would just have the upper hand of being a world champion.
Yeah. Then again, though, you think heading into the new regs, and of course, yes, we... Again, it's all conjecture at the moment. We don't really know, but obviously Mercedes apparently have got the best engine. That normally will mean anyway that Mercedes will have an advantage again over all of their customer teams, because they would have built an engine to fit their car.
Yes.
Like, I know obviously all the rules now, and it does work fantastically well, that they have to supply everybody with equal engines, with access to all the same power modes and everything like that. But they will make sure that engine is optimized to their car.
Yeah, and they've designed the engine for their car.
All I'm trying to think, yeah, is when we've seen a huge rules change where a factory team or a team like Red Bull with Honda hasn't been on top. The last one I can think of was probably Brawn in 2009.
But even that wasn't an engine regs change, was it?
No, but it was obviously
it was a massive aero shift, yeah.
And obviously McLaren, obviously, were with
McLaren
Mercedes before
were with Mercedes,
that.
Yeah. And Brawn were with no one until a month before the season when they bolted a Mercedes
engine
in the back.
They had to shoehorn a Mercedes engine into the back of it.
In fact, they designed that car for
a
Honda engine.
They had, entirely.
2010, again, wasn't a huge change, but it was a development. And Red Bull were better than Renault, but then Renault were always trash. So.
And Renault also had a team working within Red Bull to make
did.
It work, and had done for a couple of years at that point.
Yeah. No, it is true. And obviously 2014 is the prime example where Mercedes stomped everyone with the new engine, with Hamilton and Rosberg back in the day. Yeah, I think... Oh, so you've thrown out your theory of George Russell's transfer moves. What I don't know why I can't shake this, but... Okay, Verstappen goes to Mercedes next to Antonelli.
Yep.
George Russell's then obviously a free agent, ready for work. He could go to Aston Martin.
This was the other one I was thinking about. It seems like suddenly out of nowhere, no one's talking about Aston Martin anymore.
I see
potentially being somewhere you want to be.
Fernando Alonso is making lots of Alpine noises for the fourth time in his career.
Which I do not understand.
I kind of do. I don't. I think he should stick with Nui and gamble on Honda. And if it's terrible, he can still just win Monaco. But I think Alonso should stay there. But there's something about Flav and Alpine having a Mercedes engine next year that he thinks for 1 year, because Alonso is gone after 2026. For
unless
1 year.
Unless he's got like an all-conquering dominant car.
Would you rather drive a Mercedes-powered Alpine next to, well, I guess in either team, you know, you can beat the teammate. You're probably more likely to beat Stroll than Gasly, actually. But regardless.
Most definitely.
Would you rather have a terribly designed car with a monster power unit or an incredibly designed car with a very, very unknown power unit in the back?
But Honda have had the... I think the thing is, again, isn't it? People are going, oh, it's going to be like Honda 2015.
It won't be that bad.
No, exactly. This is the thing. Like, Honda have got a fair shot.
They have. But all of the guys who worked on the Honda power unit in the late 2010s, Red Bull poached most of them for their own powertrain.
Not most of them. Some of them.
Some of them.
But
anyway,
not most of them.
It will hamper them as an engine manufacturer.
But then you've got to remember on the other side of that, think about who Aston Martin have brought in. People like Andy Cowell as well in recent years, that obviously, you know, was part of the huge Mercedes engine program for all those years, that, you know, built those dominant Mercedes engines ready for 2014.
It's very true.
It's that horrible thing, isn't it? You know, we were all hyping up Honda and Aston Martin and everything, and then suddenly it kind of feels like they've fallen off the radar because they're not doing well this year. You know, that could be even more of a sign.
Yeah, but you know what? They actually are doing all right as well. They've picked it up a lot recently, especially Alonso, since his luck turned. It's been all right, hasn't it? But, yeah.
Could we be in a situation where Aston Martin are basically... Like, 2023 was Honda in 2006. 24 was Honda in 2007. 25 was Honda in 2008. So two terrible years.
So Alonso's going to win the championship.
And then 2009, Honda Aston Martin are back. Could that be the case?
You know what? We're obviously overhyping this, and rule changes generally spread the field out rather than bringing the field together.
But the thing is, we don't know whether we are overhyping this or not.
But we could have a Mercedes, a McLaren, an Aston Martin Honda, a Ferrari, and an Audi, all capable of winning races. I mean, I don't.
I love the fact you refuse to count Red Bull in that.
I would say Red Bull are done, especially if Verstappen leaves. If he doesn't leave, then we're fine. But yeah, it's going to be a very, very intriguing winter break and testing. We'll actually have something to talk about in winter testing this time around.
Oh, it's going
to
be fantastic. I'm looking forward to it.
If it's not Russell,
make sure you get yourself subscribed. We're less than 50 away from 1k.
If Russell doesn't go to Red Bull, do you think it's as simple as stick Isaac Hadjar in and accept you're going to finish 8th in the constructors?
No. I mean, the thing is, well, for next year, you've basically just got to... I mean, let's be fair, for Red Bull, surely at some point soon you're going to have to start looking at V-carb and how on earth they've built a car that is, you know, apparently it's the easiest to drive on the grid.
Like, probably because it's been developed by rookies for the last 10 years.
But in terms of... That doesn't necessarily make a car drivable, though, Jamie. They can take the setup in the wrong direction and things like that. They've just built a car that is very easy to get, apparently, most of the performance out of it. Again, we've said it before, haven't we? What would be absolutely fantastic to see is if Max did a weekend in the V-Cup, just to see what it's like.
And you know what? Now the
championship's fully capable of.
Now he's self-admitted the championship's dead. Why doesn't he do it? Give us some entertainment.
I imagine there'd be quite a lot of sponsor issues with that.
But he wears AlphaTauri clothing all the time.
No, is in terms of he was paying Red Bull money.
Oh, I suppose.
To be on a car that Max Verstappen's driving.
Yes.
Would be the big issue there. And obviously, Red Bull can't just claim a V-carb for the weekend or anything like that.
Well, they could just dress it up as a promotion.
Emails can accidentally have been sent to the wrong people.
Exactly.
Oh no, I accidentally sent Red Bull our whole car design and process and everything.
Exactly.
I mean, it is. But this is the other thing as well, isn't it? You think with Red Bull V-carb for next year. Like, you kind of get the opportunity again. I remember all these theories with 2022, wasn't it? Heading into 2023, where Red Bull built an absolute rocket ship of, oh, Red Bull have got two teams that are effectively allowed to, you know, experiment with two different car designs and then work out which one's
and
best.
And not share information. Yeah.
Exactly, and definitely not share information. So, like, there is an element of they kind of get two bites at the cherry, don't they? But
a little bit.
I mean, this has been a huge kind of turnaround from... You know, is Max going to Mercedes? Jamie, yes or no? Max Verstappen, Mercedes, 2026, yes or no?
Not 26.
Do you think it's going to happen?
I think it will happen for 2027.
Interesting.
And to be honest, I can see Max taking a year out. I know I was written to you.
I was literally about to ask that. my old theory about a sabbatical.
Yeah, I think he'd be better off just staying on the grid and doing what he can in the Red Bull. But if he wants to go and drive Spa 24, look after his daughter, you know, why not?
I love the way you said look after his daughter like it was such an alien thing. Like you had no idea whether that was a legitimate thing people can do.
Based on
you said Spa 24 with such confidence.
Spa 24 is what his priority is at the moment, it feels like. Did you not see his interview after?
Yeah, he watched that instead of
the rest of the F1.
Lamborghini won Spa 24.
I saw the massive crash in Blanchimont. That was bad.
Yeah, that was impressive. Not as good as the one, the Ferrari last year, but still very impressive.
What about you? Max to Mercedes 2026?
I just don't know, man. The thing is, what seems utterly bizarre about this that we haven't spoken about enough is how is George Russell doing so well this year and could end up without a drive?
He'll get a drive.
No, as in not... in it, like, he could end up somewhere terrible.
Well, it's just the way the cookie crumbles,
no
isn't
choice of his own.
The problem is they invested...
He's doing so well this year.
I mean, if I was the mercenary Antonelli hater, then just stick him back in Williams and have Russell and Verstappen.
Well, yeah, there is no relevant.
Never happen. Never.
No. And who would even replace it? Williams? Carlos Sainz?
Yeah, get Sainz back to, like, somewhere else. He can go to Red
Sainz
Bull.
Sainz can go Renault.
Yeah.
He can go to Red Bull. Imagine that, full turnaround. I mean, it's such an interesting thing, isn't it, that could happen. And it's not even the only driver moves we've got to talk about today, Jamie.
No.
Because apparently Bottas could be off to Alpine, which I actually think is a fantastic decision.
We spoke
about this briefly, didn't we?
Yeah, Alpine are just being a bit weird, aren't they? Because they've got one driver that they're clearly satisfied with, but...
Yep, as they should be.
Gasly has not been benchmarked that much ever since the start of 2024, really, has he? Because as soon as Ocon crashed in Monaco, they started prioritising Gasly. So, yeah, he's not really had a competitive teammate since then, really. And they want to put him up against someone they know is a known quantity. And Valtteri Bottas could be that guy. And he's a free agent.
I think this is a fantastic move by Alpine. And I don't give Flavio Briatore too much credit, but I think I will in this instance. Because, obviously, who is Bottas currently contracted to?
Mercedes.
Who's doing your engines for next year?
Mercedes.
It makes perfect sense. If Alpine can maybe go, can we have Bottas for a little while? You know, he's... Can we keep him heading into the next... You know, could he be there next year, Valtteri?
Possibly.
Like, that would be quite an impressive turnaround, wouldn't it? And obviously, even if that then means, you know, you... Mercedes can have him back on loan if they ever needed him for whatever reason. I can't see why they would. But, you know, maybe that helps sweeten the deal on those Mercedes power units for next year. That you give their reserve driver a bit of a chance, you know, and... something wild happens and suddenly you need Bottas back at some point. You know he's race fit and ready properly.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is, well, I genuinely think Bottas and Gasly in that Alpine could cook.
Like, that is a formidable midfield
lineup. I think that would immediately... That's like a Hülkenberg-Perez back at Force India all those years ago.
Yeah,
like
a
really good midfield
lineup. That would immediately be up there with the Williams lineup in the midfield.
Yeah, exactly.
Like every other team has a rookie,
right?
I think if
they got that, suddenly then you've got an option. Because we were talking about this pre-show that Alpine could end up, and it looks fairly likely, could end up dead last this year. You put Bottas back in that car, suddenly you've got an opportunity week in, week out, where at least one of your drivers should hopefully be fighting for points.
Because if you think
about it. Or if they're not, it's completely the car.
What? Because Alpine are on, what, 11 points at the moment?
11 or 12, isn't it? It's not many.
No, it's not many at all. But that's all Gasly, because Doohan and Colapinto yet to score. And Doohan obviously won't score for Jack Doohan's case. But Alpine on 11, Kvyat on 26, Aston 28, Haas 29. So, realistically, even if Bottas is as good as Gasly, which I think is probably about right, maybe Bottas is slightly better, if I'm honest.
I would say Bottas is slightly better, but of course he needs time to adapt and everything like that.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It's
but
a fair
even
assumption.
If, say, Bottas has scored the same amount of points as Gasly, they'd then be on 22. And a few points have been taken off of Haas and Aston and Kvyat. So you're then in the fight. You're then in the fight for seventh, really, aren't you? So
yeah,
they have been fighting with a hand tied behind their back all season. And I think Bottas would solve that. But to even throw more into the mud, their final reserve driver, who's not had a shot at the car yet, is Paul Aaron, who finished, what, third in F2 last year?
And should have probably won it, to be fair.
Should have done
the start of the season
better.
He had, and then just got very unlucky.
He did. But he is testing the Sauber this weekend in practice, and in Hungary he's doing the same, because Sauber don't have any more rookies. They've got to do 4 rookie slots a year. 2 of them are covered by Bortoleto in round 1 and 2. But the other 2 their only rookie driver, their only academy Junior. Driver, sorry, is Emma Felbermayr, who's in F1 Academy and probably not suitable for an F1 practice session yet.
I'm not even sure she'd be allowed to.
No, I don't think she would be either. But yeah, regardless, they've gone and pinched Paul Aaron for a weekend or two, which, if he does an Alex Dunn and is really good, could he be the guy for Alpine?
Yeah, I don't know. It's really awkward with Paul Aaron, because bizarrely, he's sponsored by Porsche Estonia. Like, always has been. Like, they funded a lot of his junior career.
Well, he's Estonian.
I'm well aware he's Estonian as well. But you're kind of there going, he's just probably going to end up in sports cars or GT3s or something at some point. I mean, I'd like to see what he can do properly behind the wheel of F1 machinery. But on the other, I like Paul Aaron enough that I don't want to see him get screwed over by having to join Alpine. is the thing, isn't it?
I think if it's a choice of Alpine or never drive an F1, I think he'd be dumb to turn it down.
I think you would absolutely take that chance. But if it's a choice between Bottas and Paul Aaron, I think my money would probably... If Paul Aaron had won F2 last year, I think absolutely you got to give him a run. But I think just with the opportunity of having Bottas there, you're kind of there going, you know, Alpine have tried to take gambles this year. It has not worked. Build a little bit of a better relationship, a bit of a rapport with Mercedes. Put Bottas in. And hopefully, you know, it's the stupid things, isn't it, of you get the theoretical blueprints for next year's, the dimensions for next year's Mercedes engine, perhaps a couple of weeks earlier. It accidentally gets emailed out a bit sooner than it should have.
Bottas is still in the email signature.
Exactly. But it is all that kind of thing. It's the really, really little stuff that all adds up.
Yeah.
You're kind of there going, and for a safe pair of hands as well.
Yeah, exactly.
It feels like it's a no-brainer. But then again, I've never been convinced Flavio Briatore's got a brain. So it's kind of like...
Yeah. It'll just bring back Nelson Piquet.
Oh, probably. It'll be something bizarre, won't it? Like, he'll bring back, someone like Nelson Piquet Jr. or something really stupid. Roman Grosjean will get the seat.
Yeah, why not?
Something like that.
I think Flav would be dumb not to go for Bottas. But he's still having lots of talks with Fernando Alonso, as I said. So who knows?
Why?
Don't who do it, knows? Fernando. Could it be the Stick fourth time Aston. Lucky?
Stick with Aston. I mean, the surely, first time is lucky enough.
Surely no other driver has signed for one team four different times in their career.
I don't believe so. Unless you've got like some weird trickery of back in like the 60s
back
and stuff.
Back and forth between two seats or something, mid-season.
Yeah. But even like a team and like a junior team. I suppose Kvyat went to Toro Rosso three times, was it? Yeah. So he almost managed
it. Well, he's equal.
I mean, he could well be there again at some point. We don't know.
Doubt it. I highly doubt it. Okay. Silverstone is happening 25
it
minutes
is.
Into this podcast.
Yep.
Best race of the year. Sadly, neither of us are going.
Nope.
Yes. McLaren should walk it based on recent form, but it will be cold. So, relatively in F1 terms, it will be cold. So, could we see a George Russell win? And then
I thought you were
going
to segue over to the liveries. That would be insanity. If George Russell wins and then still doesn't get a contract, it would be so unbelievably stupid.
Quite funny, though, wouldn't it?
Just painful, man. Painful. I like George. I weirdly like George. Like, some of the stuff he says, is a bit cringe and everything, but I do still quite like him as a driver. The thing is, he's doing so well in that car this year.
Against the teenager, so he should be doing well.
Yeah, but Kimi Antonelli is very good. You finally see his antics in turn three, Austria. Yeah, I did, yeah. you're finally starting to understand the Kimi Antonelli hype.
Yeah.
What's the temperature meant to be doing?
It's around 20s. Let me double check.
So in low 20s, is Mercedes territory, isn't it?
Yeah, 21 on Sunday and a 30% chance of light rain. It won't rain.
Probably won't rain, though.
And Saturday is rain as well, supposedly.
So Mercedes could be strong. I mean, McLaren as well, though. Their car is well suited to high speed corners.
Everything.
Well, yeah, that as well. So you'd think this is going to be, I mean, based on the whole season so far, you'd expect this to be a McLaren stronghold, wouldn't you?
Lewis Hamilton.
Can I? Yeah, I was going to say,
12
can I throw
in a row or something?
12 podiums in a row is a disgustingly insane record.
The only time he didn't get a podium...
the second... Yeah, go on.
...was the puncture in 2013, wasn't it? That was the last time he didn't get a podium.
Yeah.
And he still finished fourth.
Yeah. Do you know the second most podiums in a row at any venue for a Formula 1 driver?
So Hamilton's the most, I'm presuming.
Hamilton's the most with 12 at...
It's probably like Hamilton at Hungary or something, isn't it?
Hamilton at Cota, I believe, is 8.
Right, yeah.
And he won tied like with six of them, Alain didn't he? Prost. Exactly. Tied with Alain Prost. It's crazy. With 8 at Paul
Hamilton
Ricard.
Just has some magic at Silverstone. It doesn't really make much sense, but it just works. Because even in 23, mad, 24, and 22, when Mercedes were not really that good, he still just turns up and won. It's like, what? How is he doing this?
Well, he didn't win in 22 or 23, but yeah, he did do very well still. Like, it's just somewhere that he always seems to be able to drag a result out of the car. And it does actually lead us, Jamie, nicely into this week's quiz.
Oh, no.
Because your quiz today, Jamie183, is very, very simple. Because I was having a look back through. Hamilton has finished every British Grand Prix he's ever started.
Okay.
Like, official British Grand Prix. But only one of them, he didn't score points.
Oh, 9. I was looking at that.
Correct. You have got to give me... every driver that finished that race.
Oh, gosh.
You get one wrong, it's over. You got no time limit.
Oh, dear. Right. Well, I'll try and do it in order as much as possible. So Vettel won.
He did.
Webber was second.
He was.
I think Barrichello was third.
He was. Jenson Button famously never got a podium at Silverstone.
He didn't ever. He did finish in the points, so but I think he was like seventh in this race.
He was sixth.
Sixth, okay.
So that's four.
Rosberg was ahead of him.
He was. Rosberg was fifth.
Now the DNFs, I don't think there were that many DNFs because Hamilton finished something like 17th. So, well, there's one, Lewis Hamilton.
Yep.
For whatever reason, I picture Adrian Sutil being out of this race, so I'm not going to say him. Kimi Raikkonen.
7.
Was he 4th?
No.
Was Felipe Massa 4th?
He was, 8.
There we go. I thought it was a Ferrari. So I've got everyone down to 6th. There was an insane battle for 14th at one point between Alonso... Alonso, Kubica, and Hamilton. So I'm going to say all of those probably finished.
Yep, that's up to 10.
Who picked up a few points? Yano Trulli?
He came 7th, so that's 11.
Okay. Thing is, I don't know who DNF'd. I feel like I've got an inkling that Sutil didn't finish. So I'm not going to say him. But everyone else is fair game, so I'm going to go... Just in case, I don't want to get it wrong. When he's on the... It's not often I can say Giancarlo Fisichella, so I've got to say him.
Correct, he came 10th.
Oh, in a Force India, go on then.
Yeah. Saying there was no points for 12th then.
No.
Never for 10th even.
Kazuki Nakajima.
He came 11th, 13th.
Timo Glock.
He came 9th.
All right. We're doing well. So I've got the top 11. Nick Heidfeld.
He came 15th.
Wow. That BMW was trash. The Toro Rossos were... Oh, he could have been out, actually. Was this not the race where Bourdais just crashed into the back of Vettel when he was getting lapped? I will say Sebastian Buemi finished.
Correct. 18.
I'll avoid Bourdais for the time
being.
He
came last.
Who else? Oh, Red Bull. Oh, they were 1-2. Never mind.
Yeah, they were the first.
What other teams were there in 2009 that I've forgotten about? I've lost my memory. I'm forgetting one team. I think. I think I've gone through everyone else. Apart from Sutil and Bourdais, there's one team left.
There, Yeah, I think you've mentioned every team. You're just forgetting a few drivers. Yeah.
Oh, Nelson Piquet Jr.
Correct.
Heikki Kovalainen.
Incorrect.
Oh, dear.
He had collision damage, retired on lap 36. You were bang on with Bourdais as well. He also had collision damage and retired lap 37. So the only ones you didn't get
so
then
Sutil
was
did finish.
Sutil. Sutil did finish in 17th.
Oh,
I believe you forgot Kazuki Nakajima.
No, I said Nakajima.
Don't think you did.
I did. I was 100%.
Oh, no, you did. Sorry,
yeah,
he was 11th. Yeah, yeah, you did. So I think...
That's
did
it.
You mention Nick Heidfeld?
Yeah, I said Heidfeld.
Yeah, you mentioned Heidfeld, so it was just Sutil.
Oh,
you
dear.
You were just missing
maybe
Adrian
he crashed
Sutil.
In qualifying. I can't remember what I'm thinking of. I've got a picture on my head. I've got a picture on my head of him having a massive crash in that 09 Force India at Silverstone. It could have been in qualifying.
I'm pretty certain, yeah, in qualifying he did.
Well, never mind. Crash? I did quite well. I'll take that.
Yeah, he crashed heavily at Abbey, forcing reigning world champion Lewis Hamilton to abort his final lap and started 19th because of it.
There you go.
Sutter's accident, to be fair, was a brake failure, so we won't blame Adrian Sutter
no.
for that one. You did very well, though, Jamie.
There we go. 09 is where I where
well.
I live in F1.
I thought that was going to be exactly. I thought that was going to be right up your alley.
That's the first season I remember watching, which is quite fun.
Fair enough. Fair enough. McLaren and VCOB, they both got new liveries for the weekend. The McLaren's one is basically the 2023 car, as far as I remember. Just give us a proper Vodafone livery. That would be
no,
sick.
No, I like it. I like the McLaren.
It is nice. But
I don't like
is,
the V-Cup, which is probably controversial.
I was a bit meh about
there's
it.
There's too much
personally.
Going on.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do. I like the concept because it looks like you're in the back streets of London with all the graffiti art going on, which is quite cool. But
Silverstone isn't the back streets of London.
Exactly. They should be painting something classy on it, but, you know.
Something that Jamie knows all about. Jeffrey's never got any money, apparently. Too busy spending all his money on a holiday.
Just getting
I'm not going to let you live that one down. Predictions, I guess, is the last thing we need to do then,
yeah.
sir.
The scores on the doors.
What are the scores?
I'm on 34, and you're on 28. So you're going first.
This is tough. Lando, pole. I would love to say Lewis win. That would be so good. But I just can't bring myself to do it. I'm not that much of a moron.
Or is he?
No. I almost was going to say then Lando George Lewis. But
the British podium.
That can't happen.
Has that ever
that
happened?
That would be what? French did it.
Yeah, the
I
French.
I think the last podium. I'm sure Brits have had a 1-2-3 countless times back in like the 60s and stuff. But I think the last one was by the French. I want to say it was like the 1982 French Grand Prix or something bizarre. Surely we couldn't get a British 1-2-3 this
The
weekend.
Last British 1-2-3 was in the 68 US Grand Prix.
Yeah,
there you go.
Go. Things I want George to do well as well, man. But I got to back Lewis for a podium at home. Like that Ferrari last weekend looked good. Lando pole, Lando win, Oscar Lewis. I'm going to be stupid.
That's annoying.
Get it locked
I want it to be different by putting Hamilton on the podium, but you've done it anyway.
Exactly. Put Hamilton for the win then, go on.
So,
a 10th win at Silverstone would be insanity.
I will say George Russell in pole position.
Okay.
He got it last year in a worse Mercedes.
He did. The car was completely suited to that circuit in those conditions. But
it was,
yeah, it was
but
great
it still
car,
will
man.
Be then, by my logic.
Fair enough.
George Russell win. Why not?
No way. Fourth winner of the year.
He's already won a race.
No, he's already won. Ignore me. He's still the fourth winner of the year.
Yes. Lando second.
Okay.
And Verstappen third. I don't think that's going to be the podium. I think Piastri probably will. I just want to get some lucky points for getting someone bang on. So
fair enough. So you're throwing Verstappen in the ring.
Exactly. And if Piastri wins from Norris and Verstappen, I get two right. So
fair enough.
There we go.
Have you seen, Jamie? I forgot to mention it earlier on, that Silverstone might be getting a lifetime renewal on the Formula 1 grid. Apparently
lifetime
it could be done.
Is mental. That's so...
I think, though, as we keep saying before... Silverstone, Monaco, Monza, Belgium all should be given that.
Well, I agree.
I know Belgium won't.
I do agree, but
all should be given that.
The practicality of a lifetime contract is insane, because then there's nothing to keep them servicing the track to a good level, because they know there's a lifetime contract.
You make sure that that's written into the contract.
I guess so, yeah. It would be
and
great.
And the thing
is, well,
Silverstone generates so much income anyway, it would probably be in their best interest. Like, well, you'd have to have it worded in such a way that it makes fairness for them.
When general
admission
is like £300, it's like, what?
More than that normally, isn't it? It's ridiculous. That's why James's got no money.
Next year. I do want to go next year, to be honest.
Oh,
I
there
just,
you go. Jamie's got
money. I just bought a car, so. Right, end the show.
He's got Wimbledon. He's got to buy strawberries and cream and sit on the hill and all this, that, and the other.
It's going well.
You guys are giving me stick about
Raducanu played week. Very well yesterday. Yeah.
Did she? Fair enough. Yeah. I do not watch tennis. Well, thank you all, as always, so much for listening. If you have enjoyed, please make sure you get yourself subscribed. We're less than 50 away from 1K. I keep banging on about it. But we're going to keep plugging that until we get there. Hopefully, the British Grand Prix is good this weekend. Jamie, I love you. Have a wonderful weekend, sir. I don't know where I'm
love
going with this outro. He's actually said it normally, chat, when I finish these podcasts.
Yeah, because you leave. I always say it to myself when you leave the call.
No, you don't. Because I always say it and you hang up and I hate it. It makes me cry every time. But we'll be back next week to review the British Grand Prix.